In the wonderful name of Jesus. So, if I can get that on the screen, Minister Patton, I got this tonight. Oh, that's where we were last time. You got to go down a few verses. Yeah, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. You know, the background of that passage right there really deals with contending with those outside the faith and those who would come up with arguments and debates and teachings that go against the counsel and the knowledge of God. And for a child of God, you got to be thoroughly convinced in this word. Hallelujah. Even if you don't understand every word that is in this Bible, you got to believe that this is the word of God, and you got to treat it as such. You ought to, anyways. Stand to the defense of it, because it is the truth that still makes and sets men free. It is still the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And I kid you not, you read it. You read it, you eat it, you eat it, you digest it, you digest it, you continue to go through it over and over and over and over again. You study to show yourself approved unto God. You want the Father to be pleased with you, because you're not in here to please man. You're here to please God. And so you want the Father to be so pleased with you as you are diligently digging in, diving in, and spending time getting the true riches of God's word into your belly, into your spirit. Why? Because the word of God says something as simple as this: thy word have I hidden in my heart so I won't sin against you. I want to know your will so I don't go against your will. And I want your word in my heart, because out of my heart flows the issues of life. This is how I regulate and conduct myself. This is why I do the things that I do, because of what's on the inside of my heart. And if your word is not there, something else is occupying it. And that something that may be occupying it may be leading me in a direction that is totally contrary to yours. And you're my God, and one day I'm going to be spending eternity with you, and there will be nothing hidden. Everything will be revealed. Everything will be known as it is known. And I don't want to be disappointed. Hallelujah. I don't want to get before you and then you tell me, you know, and it's not about fearing that God would do this, because we're flowing in the direction of God's love. I hope that makes sense to you. God's love towards us, and we're like going towards his love. And that's coming to him, if you will. So it's not like we're fearing of being cast out or not being able to make it in, but it's just, you know, coming to him. We wouldn't even want God to think, should I let you in? And why? No, from the relationship that we built with him. When it's time to go through the gates, he's calling us by name. Praise God. Why? Because we know him and he knows us. We weren't a stranger to him while we were here in this earth. This is why, as believers, we can't afford to be ignorant of God once we've been born again. We want to know him the way Jesus said. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and your son that you have sent. Know him intimately, personally. It may sound redundant, but it's vitally necessary to know him. And the more you get to know him, the more you know about his love for you. And the more you know that he loves you, the more you fall in love with him. You read his word and you just, man, praise God. You're reading, and then you see something in the scriptures, and you see what somebody did wrong, and sometimes you can identify because it was something you did wrong. But you know you've been forgiven, but it's just the fact that, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I did that too. Oh, Lord, because it's so real to you, and you know he's right there with you. And you just love him, and he just loves you, but you love him according to the knowledge that he has revealed concerning himself, and not just from what somebody else told you. You got his love letter to you, and you read it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any of you ever been, see, this generation, you know, they text. So that you might get a text letter from them. But anybody ever had a love letter or wrote a love letter to someone? Oh, some of you have. Yeah. Anybody ever bought their, you know, wife, husband, a card? You know, we go to Hallmark, and Hallmark helps us out in trying to, you know, express ourselves. But there was a time where, you know, this is when we were smart. Praise God. Sorry. This is when we were more intelligent, if you will, where we could write letters ourselves. You know, that pen, the thoughts would flow through that pen onto that paper, and you'd just be writing from the depths of your heart. And sometimes, you know, you take some corny phrases like roses are red, violets are blue, and you're the one that I really love you, something like that, something crazy, if you will. But, you know, we wrote love letters, if you will, and this is God's love letter to us. And when you got that love letter, you probably didn't read it just once. You probably read it and it was all googly and, you know, and then you read it again. And this is God's love letter to you. And the more you get into it, the more you find out about his love for you. And it just makes you love him more. Love grows. Love can die if you let it. But if you treat it right, you nurture it, it'll grow. Hallelujah. It'll grow closer, the tie, the bond. Can it get any better than this? Yeah. May not think it. Praise God. Did Sister Shanice do it again? She did? Okay, I'll let you go. Amen. The kids are obviously being drawn towards Sister Shanice, so praise God. Pastor Lucy is trying to get them in there. But anyway, side trip won't cost you anything. That's on tape and on the live stream. But the love deepens. And that's a relationship. That's a relationship that you enjoy. And so with that being said, we'll just go ahead and dive into this. Because there are things that try and interfere with the relationship that we have with God. And some of those things are things that we have ourselves. I talked about oppression and depression on Sunday. And, you know, it's not just by, you know, everybody's preaching on oppression. Everybody's preaching on depression. It's like, no, the Spirit of the Lord will reveal something to you. And it's like, okay, deal with this. Because I don't want my people to be oppressed. I don't want my people to be depressed. That should not be if I'm in them and they're in me. Hallelujah. Can you see God depressed? I mean, the Lord gets angry, mind you. But he gets angry at the ones that are disobeying him. He rejoices in the ones that are honoring and doing what he wants them to do. But the ones that resist him, God says, I resist the proud. I give grace to the humble. He takes us right where we are and brings us up higher. He takes us from the lower life that we've been living and brings us into the higher life that is in him. And it's all for his glory, honor, and praise. But there are things that try to interfere, get in the way. And, you know, Paul talks about casting down arguments and imaginations. Again, it's like in out there preaching the gospel, you run into a lot of different people with a lot of different thoughts, if you will. We got a phone call, and it's not all about that, but it will drive home a point. Got a phone call from a young man. He wasn't a young man. He was an elderly man. And one of the E-team had been out there evangelizing. And so, I don't know, maybe you said something to him that just sparked a conversation, and then all of a sudden he wanted to call up and try and get some more information. So he called up, and Pastor Lucia transferred him over to me, and I was talking to him, and he had a lot of questions. He had a lot of questions about sin, the original sin. What was the original sin? What was the fruit? And dot, 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 and just going on and on and on, and then talking about other things that he indulges in, talking to spirits and things like that, and, you know, trying to bring him to the simplicity of the truth of God's word. And, you know, people have a problem with believing the simplicity of God's word, but I'm telling you, beloved, God is simple. He's simple in the sense, yeah, everything that he created is complex, but God is simple, especially when it comes to salvation. He didn't make it difficult. You know, we make it difficult. There's got to be many ways to God. God says, no, there's only one way. It's simple. You know, just one way. I sent you my only begotten son. Believe in him. You will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Don't try and do good works in order to get there. You'll never get there because you'll fail. You'll fall short of my glory. He never fell short of my glory. He fulfilled my will from day one all the way up to the last day of his time here on earth. He did the will that I called and challenged or told him, commanded him to do. He fulfilled everything. So now all you got to do is put your trust in him. So if we're over here trying to work, I'm trying to work and earn my salvation, we're ignoring what God has done. He has made the way through Christ Jesus. All that's required of us is to believe in what he did. If we believe simply in what he did, that is the gateway into salvation. Our faith in Jesus. God says, you believe in him? Yes. I declare you righteous. It's just that something. Yeah. You believe in him for salvation? Yeah. You believe that I accepted what he did for the entire world? Yeah. You believe he did it for you? Yeah. Upon that, I declare you righteous. You are in right standing with me now. You believe what he did? Yeah. Right now, I declare you as my son and my daughter. You once were separated from me, but now you are my son and my daughter. Now I am obligated to you as a father to watch over you, take care of you for all eternity. You believe? All we have to do is believe. But what about the other stuff? What other stuff? What about how you preach against sin and all of that? Well, sin is what separates us from God. We repent. What does repent mean? I've said it earlier. We repent meaning we have a change of mind. What's a change of mind? My ways were wrong. My thoughts were wrong. Everything about me was wrong and everything about God was right. Everything he said in his word is true. Everything I thought, even my opinions, are a lie when they contradict the word. So I believe on God's word. I receive. And God says, you're righteous, you're a son, you're a daughter of God, you're an heir. Heir of what? Heir of the promises of God. Hallelujah. You didn't have to work for it. You couldn't do anything to earn it. You couldn't pay enough. We don't have enough money to do it. It wouldn't satisfy God. It was all done in Jesus. We believe in him. We have everlasting life. But what happens is when we come to him, we still face some of the same old stuff that we faced before. But God gives us the power of his spirit in order to deal with these things. So casting down. Everybody say casting down. What does casting down mean to you? You know, again, you can use this in debating with others or you know, preaching the gospel, and then somebody comes up to you with a different theology or different way of thinking, different way of believing, another way to God and stuff like that. And your word that's in your mouth that comes from the word of God, that word will devour their words. It's powerful enough to consume their words to where their words have no effect. And they ought not have any effect on you. But casting down, we're going to make it personal. Casting down imaginations that go on in the mind. Stuff that is not even happening. Stuff that is not even real. Stuff that you cannot see, but you're imagining within your mind. Coming even from your heart. But they contradict the way of God. And it's those things that we need to begin to wrestle and deal with. It's those things that we need to come against because we're God's son or daughter now. We're not our own in the sense that we now have control of our life. God now has control of our life. Be free and willing to submit and surrender your life to the lordship of Christ. Don't try and hold on to it so you can still do your own thing. Release and just let it go. Once you freely let it go, everything else just falls into place. And so here we have arguments that go against the knowledge of God. Arguments that we may defend because, well, this is just how I was raised. This is just the way we do things. This is just, I can't help myself. Even if you can't help yourself, don't agree with what yourself is bringing up. Was that clear? Somebody say it back to me so I know that you understood what I said. Come on. When it contradicts God's ways. In other words, this is wrong. So, I'm not going to cooperate with it willingly. I'm not going to give over to this thing just willingly. I'm not just going to freely. I'm not your prisoner anymore. I once was in bondage. I once was enslaved to you. The bad habit, the sinful nature. I used to be in bondage, incarcerated. You used to tell me wherever to go. You were my master. I shared it with you before and it's probably not necessary to bring up now, but it drives home a point. I remember vividly sitting at the table doing drugs that I had no business doing. Now, I've been saved now for 37 years. Okay, I think so. 87, 2014. That's 37? Oh, you're right, 30. Thank you. See, they're not paying attention to me, but you are. But no, it's got to be longer than that. 84, that's what it is. 84. Okay, 33 years. Thank you. I'm 33 in the Lord. Thank you. Now we got it right. That math, I don't know why it's been messing me up. I used to be good in it. But anyways, we got to the right number. 33 years. If you've been delivered for something for 33 years, you're no longer a slave to it, right? Okay, so if I talk about it, it doesn't mean I want to go back to it. It means I only want to drive home a point. But I remember, and these things, you know, they're a constant reminder of the freedom and liberty that we have in God. I remember sitting before this thing was a pipe, if you will, and sitting there at the table and just, you know, and just doing it, and then trying to find more money so I could do it again because now it's gone. And it's like, man, this thing has power over me. And I remember a voice coming to me and saying, anything that's good to you can't be good for you. That was enough to help me to begin to resist it to the point that I didn't go back to it. But there, I could see that it was my master and I was its slave. Why? Because I was working 40 hours a week, $10 an hour. Back in that day, that was some good money. $10 an hour, 8 hours a day, times five, $400 every week, every Friday. Go and cash that check at the liquor store. Friday after work, you go and get your stuff. You go and do your thing. That was my master. But that thing was broken. It was my master because I was doing all of the work during the course of the week just to put that into my body. That thing is not my master anymore. It doesn't dictate to me what I do. Well, you can take whatever it may be, whatever argument, vain, even if it's just bad, like Joyce Myers would say, bad stinking thinking. Even if it's that, you know that your thoughts are going to a place they ought not to be. You're not a slave to that anymore. Casting down. What does that mean to you? I mean, in the casting down, if it will, does it mean gently placing it down? What do you get from that? Cut it. Throw it down. What did you say, Sister Celine? Knock it off. Whatever, but there's some oomph to it. There's like some, it's like some despising, rejecting. There's some, you're not my master. Hit it, knock it out of the park. Get away from me. Because you don't control me any longer. When I wanted to take you to Luke chapter 18, verse 1, but I'll just share it. When Jesus says men ought to always pray and faint not, then he taught them a parable. And the parable consisted of a woman, a widow, and God has favor for widows. But you have a widow who no longer has her husband as her provider and her source, so God has to become her source. And that's the way God looked at widows in his family. So you have a widow, and then you have an unjust judge. He's simply representing a man that has no relationship with God. He says, though I don't fear God and I don't fear man, yet because this poor widow keeps coming and in her importunity, she bothers me. Let me just go ahead and avenge her so that she'll leave me alone. It's a parable. It's a like, if you will, something that's, it's like this. But the thing of it is the way Jesus breaks it down, it's like with our Father, it's much better than that. He says, first of all, did you hear what the unjust judge said? And do you not think that your heavenly Father will avenge his own speedily? I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he's saying. In other words, Dad will come to your rescue immediately. But you got to go before him and say, Father, what did she say? Avenge me. That was the word. Thank you. It was trying to leave. But thank you, Sister Julie. You're working with me tonight. Praise God. Avenge me of my adversary. Your adversary doesn't necessarily represent a man. It could be a thought. It can be an act. It can be a habit. Something that is against you. An adversary is an opponent. Somebody coming against you trying to bring you down. Keep you in that place of being oppressed or inwardly depressed because of what's going on. Nothing seems to be working out the way I want it to work out. That still does not mean, I hope I said that right, that you can't have joy. You can't be peaceful. You can't be rejoicing. Why does a situation have to steal your joy, your peace, your love, affect you the way you can't even be you anymore? You can't represent yourself as a son or daughter of God because of what you're currently dealing with, whether it's from the outside or whether it's from the inside. Casting down. You got to muster up some strength to start casting some stuff. I hope I'm saying, I be shike bebaho. You got to muster up some strength in order to be able to cast down some stuff that keeps preventing you from being the child of God that you are. You are free in Christ Jesus, and no situation, no argument or vain imagination can bring you in bondage. You don't owe that stuff nothing. I think Paul said it like this. You owe the flesh nothing. You are not indebted to the flesh any longer. You are not indebted or enslaved to thoughts, to arguments, to vain imaginations, to people. You only want to please God. Even in relationships, you only want to please God. Because if you're pleasing God, you know you're pleasing the one, whether they like it or not, you know you're pleasing them. You're doing what's best for them. Why? Because you're not doing it out of your own mind or own thinking. You're doing it out of the love of God, out of trying to please your Father. Your character, everything about you speaks of that relationship you have with your Father. Everything gets regulated because we have to have stuff off of us. We can't be going around all messed up because we didn't get the promotion. We didn't get the job. We didn't get the car. We didn't get the house. We didn't get, you know, the child. We didn't get. We are sons and daughters of God. What is there that we don't have? We are heirs of God and joint heirs and kings and priests with our heavenly Father, with our Lord and Savior Jesus, I should say. The earth is the Lord's, but he's given it to us richly to enjoy. The only separation between you and the desires of your heart is time. If you're seeking to please the Father in everything that you do, the only thing that's separating you from the desires of your heart, I shouldn't say just separating, but in the sense of the manifestation of it, is time. If you are in God and God is in you, that's the way the scripture teaches us. I in you and thou in me. That's what Jesus said about the Father. But he also went on to say, I in them. We in him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We want to be one with him. Hallelujah. And that place is the perfect will of God for us. God will withhold no good thing from his children. The only thing... I want to continue to emphasize, the only thing that separates you from the manifestation of the desires of your heart and the manifestation in you is time. If there's conflict going on in between, where is it? Go back to verse 4. may just have to do some warfare. Whatever is hindering. Did I lose you? We have to do warfare. Lord, send your angel. Let him wrestle with what's trying to come against me so I can go on about your business. If I have to pray, if you want me to cry out to you, if that's what's necessary, whatever the crisis demands, according to the Amplified, dealing with Ephesians chapter 6, whatever the crisis demands, whatever you're calling me to do, I'm willing to do that, Master. Nothing is going to separate me from you. And you've said in your word, whatever I ask in prayer, believe that I receive and I shall have it. You've given me promises that I can hold fast to so that I can rest assured that it's done. If I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And because I know, how do I know? Because it says it right there. It is written. If I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And I know that if you hear me, I know that I have the petitions that I desire of you. What's in between the time I ask and the manifestation? That's a better way to say it. It's just time. Time. If God said no, it's only because I don't need it. If God says yes, I only need patience. Let patience have its perfect work. I don't need to be a basket case. I don't need to be tripping off of it. I just need to know God's a God of his word. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he will surely bring it to pass. If he didn't say it, I have no business in waiting and believing for it anyways, because I don't want anything outside of his will. I only want what he wants for me. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't want anything in my life that's going to pull me away from him. You get that? Because it's real. This relationship with our God is real. He's a real God. He won't withhold any good thing from you. And don't you dare think that he doesn't see you where you are, what you're dealing with, what you're going through. On a day-to-day basis, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He hears them when they call. That's the word of God to you. He is watching over you. He sees you right where you are. Don't get impatient with him, because that won't speed up any process. God says, you have need of patience. I ain't got no more patience. God says, yes, you do. Watch. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So God said, well, the word, go back to verse 5 again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now go to Luke chapter 18. We'll land there. Hallelujah. Glory. What's this have to do with depression and oppression? Because I was taking you to Joshua on Sunday, and I don't know if I covered this point, but I did try to get to the points where God was commanding Joshua to be strong and courageous. And the reason he was commanding them to be strong, him to be strong and courageous, is because he had to go and confront the enemy. And he could not be low in spirit in dealing with the adversary or the opponents out there. Neither can we afford to be low in spirit when we're confronting something that's standing in our way from receiving the manifestation of God's will and power or promise being fulfilled in our lives. We can't be low in spirit. You know, being, oh, Lord, no. I mean, that wasn't much of an imitation of it, but it's like, no, you can't afford to be low. Hallelujah. I got a scripture for you, so don't worry about it. And he spake unto them, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Next verse. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Okay, so this judge was obviously a heathen. And this is just a parable. So Jesus is talking about an unjust, ungodly heathen that is in the power, in the position of power, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Next verse. And there was a widow in that city. He uses widow because she has no one else to defend her, no one else to provide for her, no one else to look out for her. Her husband is gone. So she's a widow. She needs help in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Next verse. And he would not for a while. In other words, he was just trying to shove her off. Like, get away from me. You don't mean anything to me. I don't fear God. I don't regard man. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. Troubleth. 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 She's like, my adversary is troubling me, so I'm going to trouble you. Why? Because she knew he had the power to deliver her. She knew that this person had the authority to do something about her situation. This is why we go before the Father in prayer. That's why Jesus says, you know, men ought to always pray and faint not. Why? Because we're going to the one who can deliver us. We're going to the one who can heal us. We're going to the one who can bring the breakthrough. We're going to the one that can give us the miracle. We're not going to somebody that can't do what we're asking them to do. The encouragement is to pray. The subject matter is praying. Basically, we could say, or Jesus could have said, men ought to always pray. Nothing else. Believers ought to always lead a lifestyle of prayer. Not just talk about it, but actually do it. Pray and faint not. Don't worry. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Don't panic. Don't be filled with anxiety. Pray. Paul said it this way. Be anxious for nothing. In Philippians chapter 4. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. And then he says, and the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding will guard your heart and mind. Why worry? Why doubt? Why fear? I think it was last week. I was saying, don't let your belief or your faith submit itself to the lordship of doubt. No, your faith is supposed to kick doubt out. Importunity. You know, consistency. Pounding. You know, you take that anxiousness, you take that worry, you take that doubt, you take that fear, you take that bitterness or whatever it is, and you let it become fuel to fire up your engine and get you into your prayer closet and talk to God about it. And why? Because you know he's got the answer and you know he is going to do it. He's able to do what you're asking him for. I hate to be redundant, but I just think it's just something that needs to be driven home for the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Because sometimes we have a tendency to go around as if, you know, woe is me and, you know, nothing's going my way and, you know, I'm not happy. Aren't you glad that God didn't give you happiness? He gave you joy instead. Hallelujah. Oh, that joy will bring some happiness on. That joy will help you to enjoy the happiness of the happy situation that came to you to make you happy. Amen. It's not just a twist on words, but I mean it. You why are you so happy? It's because I got joy on the inside of me. It's not because I'm just happy. I got joy on the inside of me. And you let something that makes me happy with this joy, oh, man, I'll just let it all out. Praise God. Sometimes I have to watch myself in my laughter because people can take that, you know. But I enjoy being joyful and happy, if you will. It doesn't mean that things don't hit or things don't hurt or things don't have no impact, but the greater one is inside of us. Okay, I'm 2 minutes over. The greater one is on the inside. He's not outside. And he's definitely not taking off because something happens. Holy Ghost is saying, come on, let's do this. Let's do it. Let's get in the closet. Let's break this thing. Let's break this chain. Don't let oppression from without make you miserable within. And don't let, because of all of the things that, you know, because people can injure you with words, and I'm sure my words have injured some of you just as your actions have injured me. Praise God. But that's not intentional. But sometimes words can injure and produce what we call emotions. And I'm not going to get into no, you know, emotional type, feely type thing, message. But, you know, they can injure. But the thing of it is you got a healing on the inside. The same one that gives you peace gives you healing. That inner peace, that inner joy, you can draw on it and it'll come. You can thank God. You can praise God. And all of a sudden, things just shift and they just, the whole stuff, it just happens so quickly. It's like, well, where did it go? And then you just enjoy the moment. Praise God, it's gone, if you will. Because we have to be in our right mind at all times. This is a mind thing. It's not just a mind thing, but what I mean by tonight, this is a mind thing, dealing with the mind. Yet because this widow troubleth me, because she troubleth me, in her troubles she went and troubled him. He says, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me or wear me out. Next verse. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Okay, next verse. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Cry when? Unto? Shall not God avenge them? Though he bear long with them. Next verse. I tell you, that he, who is he, will avenge them. Then he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's not like he just shifts the subject. It's just a continuation. Even though God will do these things, will he still be able to find people that have faith in him? Will he still find people who are loyal towards him? Even though that will do these things. This is why he begins by saying men ought to always pray and faint not. Why? Because God's going to answer your prayer. And even though God deals with you for a long time in the sense of, you know, man, this person ain't made much progress, still, when they cry day and night before him, he will avenge them speedily. And yet, in spite of all of that, will he find faith? God has, it's from generation to generation to generation, there's always been those who have just rebelled against God no matter what. They are God's people, God's children, if you will, but they have still rebelled against God no matter what. He's always had a remnant that remained faithful to him, such as Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were faithful to God even when others were not. But he always had those, just like the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. They named God as their God, but still they were unfaithful to God. They were still rebellious towards God. God was still angry with them. Will he find faith? And all of God's goodness, will he still find faith in the earth? You ought to say, yes, Lord, I'll be faithful to you all the way to the end. But I know this, when I cry to you day and night, you're listening. And avenge me of my adversary. What's coming against you? What's hindering you? What's standing in your way? What keeps you from being as free as you ought to be in Christ Jesus? Because Jesus has made us free. But what prevents us from being as free as we ought to be in him? What prevents us from being as effective as we could be in him? Because when it's all said and done, it's not going to be about this business, or, and I'm not saying that personally, or that job, or how much money you have in the bank, or where you live, or clothing you wear, or car you drive. It ain't going to be about any of that stuff. It's not going to be about that job, that raise, that promotion. It's not going to be about that stuff. No. It's going to be you and him. What did you do for me? I know what I did for you. I got you that job. You were excited about it when I gave it to you. But then after you met a few challenges, all of a sudden you wanted to leave it. I gave you that, that my name may be glorified. I provided for you when others forsook you. Why did you forsake me? Read the Bible. You'll see how God was always good to his people. You see the same thing in the Old Covenant. God was telling them the same thing in Jeremiah and even in Ezekiel. Repent. If you'll repent, I won't bring on the disaster that I'm about to bring. But if you repent, I won't bring it. If you don't repent, then I'm going to bring it. And he's saying the same thing today. If we don't repent and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going to suffer the wrath of God. If we repent and receive Jesus, we're going to receive the blessing and favor of God. Same. You're not in that unrepentant crowd. You're in the repentant crowd. You are in the place where you receive the blessing and favor of God. Hallelujah. There's no good thing God will withhold from you. He's not trying to deny you of anything of the desires of your heart. Just let the desires of your heart be pleasing in his eyesight, because that's how we're supposed to live. Lord, I only want to live to please you. Stand to your feet. I only want to live to please you. I don't want to live to please myself. I don't want to live to do my own thing, because I will get myself in trouble. But if I do your thing, hallelujah. Not only can I expect to hear you say, well done, I look forward to being in your presence when those words are said. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's believing God for something big? Who said? There was some little kids saying me. Praise God. Father, I don't know everything that everyone in this tabernacle is believing you for, but I stand in agreement with them as it pleases you. I pray for open doors that no man can shut, because you've said it in your word through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you shut doors that no man can open. I pray, Father, that you will grant the very desires of the hearts of your people in this house, in this tabernacle right now. And Father, I come against the arguments and the vain imaginations. I come against the spirit of impatience, and not that that's a spirit that's, you know, but Father, I come against that in Jesus' name, that impatient spirit. I come against the worry spirit, the doubting spirit. I come against, Father, that spirit of anxiety. I come against the spirit of oppression, oppression from without and depression from within, that deep sadness and sorrow for things not working out as they feel like they ought to. I come against that in Jesus' name. I release the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, the presence and peace of God, the love of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, the mercy of God to come upon each and every one. I pray that faith rises to an all-time high in the lives of your sons and daughters, that we are all going from faith to faith. We are all going from strength to strength. We are all going from glory to glory. We're not waning, we're waxing, we're getting stronger in you and not weaker in you. And that scripture verse I was going to give you was simply Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are in God and God is in you. Therefore, be strong in him. Don't be weak in him. He needs you to be strong in him. As he told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Why? Because he's got to face the enemy. He's got to face an adversary that will not back down, that will not cower in fear, but he's going to have to fight. He's going to have to overcome. He's going to have to take him out in the name of Jesus. And God is saying the same thing with you, because the power of his might is resident within you. So you are strong in him and in the power of his might that he supplies to you. You're not going to be weak in exercising it. You're not going to be weak in walking in it. You're not going to be weak in living in it, but you're going to be strong, and you're going to exercise the power and the authority of his might that he has given you, and you shall subdue the land, and you shall overcome, and you shall overtake, and you shall recover everything that the adversary has taken from you, and you shall be blessed, and you shall be a blessing, and you shall experience the favor of God like never before. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper, because you're not going to be so weak that it can prosper against you. Every tongue that rises against you, you're not going to be moved by it. You're going to prove it to be a lie. This is your heritage and your righteousness. It comes from God. You are in the place that you are in God, not because of you and not because of your good works, but because of his grace, his mercy, his favor. He's chose you. He's selected you. He's elected you for his glory and honor and praise in the earth. He put his blessing on you, not a curse. He put his favor on you, not rejection. He said, I'll be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Time to tread down, trod underfoot your adversary, your opponent, everything that works against you, everything that tries to keep you weak, everything that tries to keep you down, everything that tries to hold you back, everything that tries to weigh you down. You say, avenge me of my adversary. And God says, I will avenge you speedily, because I got things for you to do. I got places for you to go. I got people for you to see. I got my will to be accomplished in the earth, and I have selected you. I have handpicked you to use you for my glory. Don't consider yourself for the task at hand. Consider your God who's with you everywhere you go. Confident in him. Be brave in him. Be bold in him. He's with you. Said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's with you. You don't have to be tossed to and fro anymore. You're not subject to the tossing. You're the head and not the tail. Rise above the waves. Rise above the waters. Rise above the trouble. Rise above the fear. David said it like this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? It wasn't because David was like, because I'm a tough dude. He said, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. If you believe that the presence of God is with you, if you believe that God is in you, if you believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you, you can say like David, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of all mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. What can separate you from the love of God? Just go ahead and say, not a thing. That summarizes everything that is mentioned. Not a thing shall separate you from the love of God. So, Master, we thank you. Thank you for breakthroughs tonight. Thank you for miracles tonight. Thank you, Father God, because things have turned, the tables have turned, and they've turned in our favor. Thank you, Master, because you are doing a great work, and this is a great work that we're doing. We don't have time to get off the wall. Hallelujah, because it's a great work. So see us family, see the family, see your sons and daughters safely to their destination so that no evil befalls them, no plague comes near them, no hurt, harm, or danger comes away, but guide them safely, I pray. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of Abba Father and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost be with each and every one of you. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go, in Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed, said amen. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you. Whew, praise God. We'll see you Sunday. Bring someone to church with you. Hallelujah.